Come, Holy Spirit, and set our hearts on fire with this unquenchable thirst for your living water. Amen.
Amen.
When I used to be in shape and used to train for marathons, I was always fascinated by the phenomenon that my coaches would emphasize, and Tom and others who know much more about physiology could probably say why this is, but the phenomenon that you actually don't feel thirsty until your cells have gotten to the state that they're depleted. That thirst is something that is a marker that you are getting low on fluid. It's not something that says to you you're in good balance. It's not something that says you're drinking your 8 ounces of water a day like you should. My coaches used to say to me, you have to drink, 3 to 4 ounces of water every mile, because once you feel thirsty, you're beginning to get dehydrated. That's an incredibly difficult lesson to learn. Because we all need signs in our lives that help us know where we are. And thirst is obviously a very basic physiological, biological phenomenon that helps us to know how our body is doing, whether or not we're in homeostasis, whether or not we're in balance. Jesus was obviously not talking about, are you drinking 8 ounces of water every hour throughout your day, when he's talking about the living waters in today's gospel lesson. So what is the spiritual corollary to the physiological experience of thirst? That sense that you are just desperate to get a glass of water. That internal craving for something to drink. When we think about what those markers might be spiritually, we sort of have to come in through the back door with the Holy Spirit this morning. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he details the fruits of the Spirit, the things that we will experience in our lives when we're living in balance, when we're living connected with God, when we're living in a place where we are drinking deeply of those living waters. And the fruits of the spirits that Paul talks about are love, joy, hope, patience, meekness, gentleness, kindness, and others that I probably am bad at, so I never remember. But those are the kinds of experiences, the sort of gifts that we live with when we are deeply quenched by those living waters. We are joyful and loving and kind and gentle with our friends and our family members. When we find ourselves being mean, saying unkind things, screaming at my children, acting in ways that are not joyful and loving and humble and kind, that is our soul's, our heart's way of saying, I'm dying of thirst. We are beginning to be depleted here. I am dying of thirst. And I think this is a state that you all probably may recognize, if not on a daily basis in your lives, certainly at different periods in your life, when we have those times of incredible dryness. If somebody in your life is dealing with a chronic or acute illness, it can be so difficult to feel quenched. If you have a relationship that is causing you any strain, you can feel as dry as parchment paper. There are many different things. Sometimes just the day-to-day drudgery and busyness of life can completely dry us out. So when Jesus stands up in the temple on the Feast of Pentecost, which was actually a Jewish feast, that'll have to be next year's sermon, but when Jesus stands up in the temple on the Feast of Pentecost and says, come to me, all you who thirst, you can be sure that there was not a single person who says, oh, not me, I'm good. I'm fully quenched. I don't need anything. But it's also very difficult for us to imagine what does it mean to drink of the living waters. That's one of those phrases that can just sort of float up there. Yeah, 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 drink of the living waters. What? How? How do we do that? Teresa of Avila is a wonderful Spanish mystic who wrote extensively using a metaphor of water in Watering Her Garden, a beautiful book which she drew details the interior castle that she experienced in her prayer life. And Teresa talks about four different ways that we as human beings can experience these living waters that our Lord offers us. And she's writing this book to give her young nuns instructions about how they can find the living waters, so that they don't become dry and depleted in this intense life of a Carmelite monastery. And she says when we're in the first phase of seeking to drink living waters, when we have identified, diagnosed in ourselves that we are thirsty, we are no longer experiencing the fruits of the Spirit, and our actions are showing that. When we are thirsty for God, the first thing that we can do is turn to the Lord in active prayer. So this may mean a time, if you are familiar with 12-step programs, of doing a moral inventory, looking at where have I been unkind, where have I lied, where have I fallen away from God in my daily life. Being in close conversation with God about that. This active time of prayer she likens to spring cleaning in a garden, pulling up all the weeds, clearing away the brush, and all of the things that have gathered. So it's a very active and sometimes a very extended time of prayer. Many, many years can be spent in this active phase of prayer. And during this time, as the ground is cleared, God is planting seeds. And the next thing that Teresa talks about is the way that we as human beings need to water those gardens. And she says it's like having a bucket and dipping it down into the well, and by sheer muscle pulling up the bucket of water. Which, as you all know who have ever lifted, you know, big 5-gallon buckets of water, that's incredibly hard work. This time of active prayer, of introspection, of becoming self-aware, of acknowledging where you are not living with God, not drinking deeply of the living waters, is hard work. But she says after a while, when we continually turn ourselves to God, just like training for any physical event or doing rehab after a surgery, it slowly gets easier over time. And so before you know it, you notice that on the well, there's actually one of those hand cranky things. And the water level has miraculously raised. And so it's not quite so arduous to dip the bucket down, to pull it up, and then to water your garden. Because prayer during this time is no longer so much dialogue and introspection, but really a coming to rest in the Lord. Prayer becomes quieter. Maybe you use a mantra, like in centering prayer, or you use walking meditation in nature, but prayer becomes quieter at this time. So the watering of the garden is a little bit easier. You may be more aware of God throughout your daily life in the second phase, so that when you are unkind to somebody, on the spot, you recognize it and apologize. So the second phase of finding the living waters begins to have some repose to it. And then Teresa goes on, and these next images I think are just beautiful, to say as we continue to grow in our faith and our hope and our love of God, we feel that the water is bubbling up around us like a spring, like the marsh outside of St. Mary's. That you don't have to do anything, and there is the living water, because you are so open to God. Your soul has become settled. Whatever the noise that was creating the dryness of the first phases is beginning to be saturated, and all around you are these living waters. These phases are very deep mystical prayer. And she says the final one is one where you experience the living waters like rain, just gently and constantly sprinkling down on you and saturating every aspect of your life. where God, where you see God in everything, in hardships, in challenges, no matter where you turn, your response is one of love and kindness and gentleness, because you are abiding and drinking so deeply of those living waters. So this Pentecost, I feel before me, and I hope before you, an invitation to think about those places in our life where we are so thirsty, where we might find ourselves acting out in a variety of different ways, being reactive to the people around us, or even just internally. Maybe we have good self-control so it never gets out, but our frustration, our anger, our turmoil, our anxiety, our fear just grips at us and leaves us so dry. Because on Pentecost, when Jesus is promising to send the Spirit to be among us, and then when the disciples actually do experience that, Jesus' deep thirst is that all of us and all of his disciples feel those living waters saturating us in our lives. That we can begin to feel God pouring God's self into us, into the world. If we can quiet ourselves long enough to weed the garden, to begin to water, and then ultimately to realize that it's all around us. So on this Pentecost, may we all acknowledge our thirst, have the courage to face where that comes from, and then to begin on the path that Teresa outlines for us, so that this phenomenon of living water becomes real in each of our lives, and not just a pretty theological phrase that we can toss about, something that truly changes our lives and helps us to live fully in the fruits of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.